Everywhere Jesus goes, many people expect him to set them free from oppression. Everywhere he goes, he heals them and sets them free. Disease, devils, and death are running for their lives. The forces that diminish human life are rendered powerless by Jesus. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who restores us, who calls us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, back when Shannon and I had the DIY channel, one of our favorite shows to watch, or at least my favorite show, probably not hers, was about this contractor from Canada. Holmes was his name, and the show was Holmes Makes It Right. And what Holmes does is he goes into these places where, usually where natural disaster or something bad has happened, whether it be flood, tornado, whatever, he goes in, he assesses the damage, and he fixes it. And a lot of times along the way, they find things that were done improperly by former contractors or builders. So what they do is they fix it right. He fixes it right, and he goes above and beyond what is code. He always explains, well, this is code, but this is the best practice. He does this, as I said, for natural disasters. He's even done it for a woman who lost her spouse due to some poisonous air that was being formed in the attic. So Holmes makes it right. He's this restoration person that goes out and helps folks. And when I read through our lessons today, for me, restoration is the common thread that we hear throughout our scripture passages. First, in our passage from Isaiah, Isaiah is the Israelites. They're in captivity at this moment. They've been hauled off to Babylon. They've been there nearly 70 years now. A lot of hope is lost. They feel abandoned. They're under oppression of a foreign ruler, something that they thought could never happen to them again, not after Egypt. But here they find themselves, discouraged. And the prophet comes along to reassure them, to give them hope. He says to them, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable." God, the prophet, is there to proclaim God's restoring power. These people who are under oppression, who have their own vices, who are in captivity, are going to be made free, are going to go home. And God is going to lead the way. God is going to provide for them the route. God is going to provide for them the strength. And God is going to provide for them the resources they need to get back home. In our 1 Corinthians text, we have this letter of Paul to this new Christian community. And in it, he's talking about, we hear this repetitive, I became a Jew to win the Jews. I became one under the law to win those under the law. I became an outsider to win those on the outside. I became weak to win the weak. I became all things to all people. Now, what I think is important here is that what I hear and what I see in Paul's actions is one of listening, one of building relationship, one of being with the people, of gaining their trust. Paul was a Jew. In fact, Paul was the most righteous of Jews. He was a headhunter that went out and found those who were disobeying the law and had them punished right for what the law called. But Paul was not one that was not under the law. He wasn't outside the law. He wasn't weak. He was a Pharisee. He had a very prominent position. But what Paul was doing was he was going into these communities and listening. Listening to what their needs, listening to where they were at in their own lives, gaining understanding of where God was present in their very lives already. Not to pull them in and say, this is what you need to believe, this is what God is about, but rather to say, here God is amongst you already. It's like the story of when Paul goes into the marketplace and there's all these idols around, these little statues, and then he finds one that is to the unnamed God. And Paul says, let me tell you about that God. That is the Almighty God that is ruler, the Almighty of everything, of heaven and earth. In our Mark passage, we see restoration as Jesus visits Simon's mother-in-law. She's at home in bed with a fever, not feeling well. And he visits her. He takes her by the hand and restores her to health. And then she prepares and serves them. Now, you know, with the flu epidemic going around, one might say we wouldn't be that delighted if someone with a fever was serving us. But Jesus heals her of that ailment. He goes on to work the double shift that night when folks start coming in his door. Those who are ill, those who have demons, casting out the demons, healing those who are sick, sending them away restored, rejuvenated, ready to serve. Service is what comes about of all these healing stories, of these stories of restoration. And that is because work continues after the restoration. Now, Simon's mother-in-law here, it tells us she serves. And I want to point out here something that I think is very important. She doesn't serve because she has to. She doesn't serve because she's not compelled to. She doesn't serve because of someone asking her to. And she does not serve because it is her supposed place. Yes, in that time, in that era, woman's primary duty was that of providing and serving. But it is so much more for that than that. And it worries me when we automatically assume that a woman's role is service. And that is not what the Bible is telling us. Rather, I think it's something that we need to look deep in ourselves and evaluate where that comes from. Rather, service here is a calling. It's a calling from God. Just as God called her two boys, God calls Simon's mother-in-law, Simon and Andrew's mother-in-law, into service. God calls her because that is what discipleship is. This is an example of discipleship. She has been freed, she has been restored, and she goes and serves. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The work of restoration we see in the other text as the people of Israel eventually return home, reestablishing the community there. We see it in Paul's church at Corinth as they continue and to grow in love with one another, building that solid community built on the foundation of Christ. In our own lives, we experience and share in that own restorative power. We experience it through others serving us, others listening to us, and those who speak out against the injustices and the things that are not right. These are the ways we experience and live a life of faith. We see it in everyday work, in doctors and nurses who themselves pull double shifts to help that person heal and get better. We see it with lawyers who take up pro bono cases as they help those who don't have the means to provide or have the money to pay for their services. The baker who stays up all night to bake that fresh loaf of bread for their customers the next day. The customers who don't have money but provide that free meal anyhow. We see it in the grandparents who are retired, who take the extra mile to spend that time with their children and grandchildren, loving them, showing them firsthand God's love. We see it at card games, where people are sitting around, talking, and embracing the eighth commandment. Or sitting in the hairdresser's getting a haircut. When the temptation for gossip is there, and man, there's some juicy information. But instead, I choose not to participate and to, in fact, go the extra mile and shine whatever is going on in the best possible light. That is just a few of many ways that we live our lives of faith each and every day. And I bet if each and every one of you took the opportunity to think of your last week, even probably the last couple days, I bet you too can think of that same restorative power of healing. Healing that you received from another, a healing that you extended and shared to someone else. Because restoration in God isn't necessarily like this home show that we like to watch. Restoration in God isn't just about fixing things, making them brand new and shiny. Restoration in God is one of experiencing the presence of God, one where God is with you despite the stuff that is going on, the hurt, the pain, the temptation, the captivity, whatever it is in your lives, whatever it is that is drawing you away, creating this barrier between you and God. God is there to break through that barrier, regardless of what it is, always for you. So no matter where you find your place, if you find yourself as a woman being told that you're not allowed to lead, but rather you should take a place of service, if you find yourself as being too old or not well because society tells you that, if you find yourself in your own captivity, whether it be through addiction or some other vice, if you find yourself where people tell you Jesus isn't, that is not true, because Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there with you and with the spirits, but Jesus is with you with one another, with those who come and stand beside you, there to restore you to good health. Because health is more than just physical well-being. It's our emotional being. It's our connectivity with each other and with God. Jesus promises to restore that in each and every one of you, and Jesus promises to use each and every one of you in restoring that same gift with others. So may God's love restore each and every one of us. May we know and witness to that light. May we freely share that with our brothers and sisters that we meet along the way and share in those blessings. Amen.